Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 6 lines from the bottom at the new Mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin Omed Aleph. As you look at the Mishnah, your eye immediately catches a diamond series marking on the side of the Gemara in the margin under our Mivneh heading. The Mivneh, the structural note, we indicate the diamond. Also, a double underline marking appears, highlights Shalosh Dugmois, 3 examples. Shel Hachnosas Dvorim Lirishus Chavero. Items are brought into your neighbor's domain, v'nizoku, and damage sets in. We speak in those terms so as to present a broad picture. Damage results. We have a situation that you brought the items into your friend's domain, shelo birshus, or birshus with rishus. Shelo birshus means without permission. Rishus means with permission. As you look at the text itself, you see shehichnis, means the item is brought in. What items are we going to talk about? So the double underline, just follow that for a moment. Kedei roisov, jugs, or pots. Pei roisov, fruits, vegetation, and shoro, his animal. Now the Gemara. Hakador, Kador is the name of the professional that makes Kederos. You want to call him maybe a potterer, a jug maker, whatever. Something along those lines. Hakador shehichnis kederosov lechotzer bal habayis. The Tosfos at the bottom points out that Hakador shehichnis kederosov hanoch tlosa bovi, these 3 sections, 3 examples, Srifi. Each one is necessary to be taught. And there's a Mishnah structure for lo zu af zu kotoni. Not only this, but even this. We'll go over this thesis after we see the examples in the text itself, so you'll appreciate the point that he's trying to make. But the reason we read the thesis straight off is to understand why we have the 3 examples are not just random examples for the sake of citing examples, but each one has a purpose. And we'll see once again a little bit later. So we spoke about the kador, the potterer that brings his wares into a domain, a chotzer, a courtyard of a balabayas, of an owner, shelo birshus, without permission, v'shavro behemto shebalabayas, and the homeowner's animal broke the clay vessels. Potter, the homeowner, the balabayas, is exempt. Vim huz ka bohen, and if the animal belonging to the balabayas, the owner of that domain, gets hurt on these vessels that were brought in without permission, bal hakederos chayov, the owner of those jugs has to make restitution to the owner of that courtyard for the damage suffered by his animal. However, v'im hifnis birishus, if they were brought in with permission, and the above-mentioned takes place, bala chotzer chayav, the bala chotzer, who gave permission to the jug maker to bring his jugs into the courtyard, if the animal of the balabayas who gave permission to have them brought in, if that animal breaks them, so the balabayas it will have to pay for the broken jugs. Hichnis peirosov lochotzer balabayas shelobishus. A person brought his fruits into the domain of his neighbor without permission. V'ochloson bamto shel balabayas potter, and the homeowner's animal ate those fruits. The balabayas is exempt. V'im huzka bohen, and if the animal got hurt as a result of those fruits, bal haperos chayav, the owner of those fruits must offer compensation. V'im hichnis berushus, if the fruits were brought in with permission, bal chotzer chayav, then the owner of the chotzer will have to make restitution for the loss of the peros that the animal ate. Hichnis shoro lechotzer bal habayas shelo. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Brishus, without permission, an animal was brought into his neighbor's domain without permission. V'nogchoi shoroi shel balabayas, o shenoshchoi kalbo shel balabayas, potter. And the balabayas' ox gourd, or his dog bit the uninvited ox, so the balabayas is exempt. Nogach hu shoro shel balabayas chayav, if the uninvited ox became aggressive and gored the homeowner's shore and caused damage, so the uninvited ox owner has to make restitution. Nofal leboro vehivish meimov chayav, if the uninvited ox fell into the homeowner's pit, which was used as, let's say, an entity of water storage, and the carcass then caused the water to go rancid, so the owner of that animal, the uninvited ox, has to make restitution for the ruination of the water. Hayaviv oibenoi lusaychai, if the father or the son of the balabayas was in the pit and the animal fell on them, mishalim as a kofar. So the kofar payment, which is the payment made when an animal, when a shor hamuad kills someone, that payment must be made. The animal was uninvited, and it caused the death of Oviv Obeno. Now, however, v'imhichnis birashus, if the outside ox was brought in with permission, and something then happened to the ox that we can now call the invited ox, Baal HaChotzer Chayav, the owner of the Chotzer, who granted permission of entry, bears responsibility. Rebbe Oimer, Bekulon Eino Chayav Adshikabel Olov Balabayas Lishmor. In all of the above examples, Rebbe says, and this is Rebbe's opinion, the Balabayas bears no responsibility unless he accepts a full responsibility to watch it. In other words, the mere granting of permission to enter does not impose obligation and responsibility upon the balabayas unless the balabayas formally accepted responsibility to watch it. Let us go back just for a moment to the brief, the short Tosfos at the bottom of Omid Aleph that we started. And he says that, let's read the Tosfos again. Hakadosh Yichnas Kederos V'chulei, Hanach Tlosu Bovitzrichi, the three examples are necessary. Velo Zu Af Zu Kotoni. Not only the first, but even the second. And not only the second, but even the third. That's the style. The Itana Kederos, which was the first example, had it taught just the case of the pottery, the jugs, the pots that were brought in. Have Amino Birshus Chayav, Lefisha Neuchos Lishover, Ubistamo Kibel Olei Netirusa. I would have thought that in that case, when permission was granted, we can assume that the homeowner accepts responsibility, because those are fragile items, and if he's granting permission to bring them in, it must be he's also accepting upon himself responsibility. Avol Peros Lo. I wouldn't have known the same thing when it comes to Peros, that the granting of responsibility, of permission to enter, imposes responsibility. V'itana Peros, Shenochos Liz Kalkel. And if I would have taught Peros, they rot, they go bad. Nochos means they readily go bad. Now, the point here is that the, relatively speaking, we'll have to assume, as Tosfos says, that kederos are more fragile than peros. But peros, relative to an ox that comes in, peros are nochos as kakal avo behema lo. But the behema doesn't go bad so quickly, so it could be, I might have thought without the Mishnah's example, that permission to bring in your animal does not impose responsibility on the balabayas. And therefore, that case was taught as well, where we see otherwise. Before we get into the Gemara text, let us look at the side here of on Omid Beis at the topic heading, which reads under the Nosei, the topic heading, Birur Mivne HaMishneh. We want to clarify the Mishnah structure, Klomar, which means to say, Mi Tana Dereisha Uda Mitziasa, who is the author of the beginning of the Mishnah and the continuation of the Mishnah, B'Nosei Kabbalas Shmira, in the topic of acceptance of responsibility to watch on the part of the Balabayas, B'Nesinas Rishus Likones Stam, with the mere general permission to enter. I allow you to come in. What does that mean? What does that entail? What does that impose on the homeowner when he grants permission to enter? You'll notice as we go on in the Gemara, a house marking appears, and under our Mivne, our structural note, it represents Shlavei Birur, stages of analysis. Mi Horesha Metziyosav HaSeifa. Who are the authors of the different sections of the Mishnah? I say authors in the plural, which that might appear as such at first glance, but the Gemara will be quite precise and quite detailed regarding the matter of authorship. One thing is very clear, and that is that Rebbe appears at the end of the Mishnah in name. But up till that point, who authored the Mishnah? I think it's worth pointing out, just to review the obvious, Rebbe says that obligation and responsibility over that which you're watching sets in only if there's formal acceptance of responsibility to watch. That's further than simple granting of permission to enter. Now, as we look at the Gemara, you'll notice we open with a long question, because all of this is one question, basically, who is the author of the Mishnah? The Gemara. Taima d'shelo birshus. We mentioned in the Mishnah that the Baal HaKederos, the owner of those pots, the clay pots, was Chayev, is obligated if the animal of the homeowner gets hurt. Why is the Baal HaKederos, the pot owner, why is he obligated, why is he guilty if something happens to the animal? Because he entered without permission. Ha Birshus, Lo Mechayev Baal Kederos, Benizke Behemto de Baal Chotzer. If the Baal HaGederos got permission to enter, then that pot owner will not be obligated to compensate for damage that happens through his pots to the animal of the Baal HaChotzer, to the animal of that courtyard owner. V'loy amrinon. And you can see from this that we do not say the following. We have two lines in quotation marks. We do not say, Kibule kobil baal kederos netirusa de behemto de baal chotzer. By the fact that he got permission, that doesn't mean that he, the pot owner, becomes responsible for watching for guarding the homeowner's animal in face of damage that it might sustain through the pots. So what do we see from here? We see that mere permission to enter does not entail acceptance of shmira. Money, who is this? Who is it that says that mere permission of entry does not entail acceptance of watching, of guarding? Rebbe, he. This opening of the Mishnah would appear to be Rebbe. Diomar, Rebbe said, Kol bistama lo kabel ole netirusa. All stam is a situation of non-statement, of non-formal, explicit acceptance. So that kol bistama, any simple, unqualified, unspecified permission of entry does not mean acceptance. Kobdole is acceptance upon yourself, natirusa, of guarding. That shita's Rebbe, as he said at the very end of the Mishnah. Before we go on, let us look together at the Rashi. Moni Rebbe, he, fourth line from the top. The opening of the Mishnah would be Rebbe, the Yomar Basefa, who said explicitly at the end of the Mishnah, Bekulon Eino Chaya V'chule, in all the cases there's no responsibility until there's formal acceptance to guard. Deka Salka Daitach, the thinking right now. When you see Kasaka Daitach, you realize that what we're going to say now is subject to change. But right now, the thinking is, De La Rabbonon, according to the Rabbonon, Ki Hechi De Baal Chotzer Birishus Mechayev Benizke Kederos, that just like the homeowner, when permission is granted to enter, becomes responsible for the welfare of the jugs, De Bistama Kobil Ole Netirusa, then this, in this unqualified format, this general format of granting permission, that entails acceptance of Netirus, of watching. Hachinami Mechayev Baal Kederos Beniske Baal Habayis. So too, the jug owner that got permission to come in, he accepts responsibility, damage that his jugs might cause to the Baal Habayis. De Bestamo Ki Yoiv Le Baal Habayis Rishusa LeMeir, that when in general permission is granted to the jug owner by the homeowner to enter, kabel olei kador netirusa de lalisku kederosav labal achotzer, that pot owner is also accepting responsibility to guard that his jugs won't cause damage to the baal achotzer, to the courtyard owner. So, with regard to the Rabbonon, when you have a stam situation of rishus to enter, that does entail acceptance of responsibility. The opening of our Mishnah saw the we inferred, let me say, from the opening of the Mishnah, that had the pot owner received permission to enter, then the pot owner would not bear responsibility for damage to the Baal HaChotzer. He would not bear responsibility for damage that his pots cause the Baal HaChotzer. All of that conforms to Rebbe. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ema Seifa. State the continuation. The word Seifa literally means the end, but you're going to see in a few lines later that this Seifa is really referred to as Metziosa, a middle section of the Mishnah. So that's why we've written above the word Seifa the word Metziosa. So state the continuation of the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, Im Hichnis Birishus Baal Chotzer Chayav. If the pot owner was granted permission to enter, so if those pots are broken, the Bala Chotzer is Chayav. Did you see the Bala Chotzer saying, I will watch your pots? Nope. All we see on the part of the Bala Chotzer is he's granting permission to enter, permission to the Kador, to the pot owner, to enter. Asan L'Rabbonan. This part of the Mishnah, where simple granting of permission to enter creates watching responsibility, that conforms to the Rabbonan D'Amri, B'stam Onami, Kabuli, Kabil, Olei, Netirusa. That with the Stam granting of permission, the general issuance of permission of entry, entails acceptance of responsibility. So now, the thinking is that just like the Bala Chotzer is going to be responsible for the Kederos, the Bal HaKederos also has responsibility that the Bala Bayis should not get hurt. So that is in accordance with the Rabbanan. So what have we seen so far? The opening of the Mishnah with the inference drawn from there. Mere permission of entrance does not entail acceptance of responsibility. The middle section of the Mishnah, mere granting of permission of entrance, does entail responsibility of watching. Vasu, and you continue reading the Mishnah. Another house marking. It's another section of the Mishnah. Rabbi Omer, the end of the Mishnah said, where Rabbi said, "Bekulon eino chayav achi kabalo balabayis lishmor." In all the cases, there is no responsibility of watching, of guarding, until the balabayis formally accepts upon himself such responsibility. If he doesn't accept such responsibility in a formal sense, so then if the just having granted permission to the let's say the jug owner to bring his jugs in, if the Bala Chotzer, Bala Bayis's animal breaks those jugs, he is not responsible. He didn't accept formally the obligation of watching. So what is the result of this analysis? Reisha v'seifa Rebbe u'metziyasa Rabbanan. Should we say then that the Mishnah has this undesirable structure, inconsistency? The opening and closing represents Rebbe, and the middle represents a different opinion, the Rabbanan. Omar Rebbe Zera. Tavra. Tavra literally means break apart. Mi Shishona Zu Lo Shona Zu. This expression you find in several places throughout the Shas. However, here the explanation is a bit unique, and that is when Rabbi Zera says Tavra Misha Shonazu Lo Shonazu. Rabbi Zera is saying that only the very end of the Mishnah is really Rebbe. The Reisha and Metziasa are the Rabbanan. However, there are two opinions as to what the Rabbanan hold. One opinion says that the Rabbanan disagree with Rebbe. Another opinion of the Rabbanan say that Rebbe and the Rabbanan, in fact, are in total agreement regarding the matter of when is there actual acceptance of guarding responsibility. So that's Rebbe Zera's approach, where the Reisha and Metziasa are really authored by the Rabbanan, but there's no contradiction here. Rather, what do the Rabbanan really hold is the subject of two opinions, two later opinions. They are represented by the Reisha and the Metziasa of the Mishnah. Rebbe himself appears at the very end. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rava Omar Kula Rabbanon Hi. The entire Mishnah, meaning the Reisha and Metziasa, are straightforward Rabbanon, without saying that there are two opinions within the Rabbanon. but rather ubirishus. When the Mishnah makes reference to entrance with permission, where the homeowner, the courtyard owner, granted the pot owner to bring his clayware into the chotzer, shmiras kedei roisav kabil olav bala chotzer v'afilu nishburu beruach. The permission to enter, according to the Rabbanan, does entail obligation to guard the pots. So it means, so to speak, I'm letting you bring your pots into my chotzer, and I accept responsibility by simply allowing you to come in. That entails responsibility to guard over those pots under all circumstances, even if they happen to be subject to being knocked over by the wind. That's afilu nishbu beruach. However, that permission, where the Baal HaGederos receives permission to enter, that does not mean that the Baal HaGederos, that the pot owner, accepts responsibility for what may happen to the Baal HaChotzer. So that when you look back over what we said earlier, we have a little arrow, you notice, to the right-hand side of the Gemara text here. It's pointing to the right in what we wrote in. We wrote in Avo Baal Kederos Lo Koblo Lov Midi. The pot owner doesn't accept any responsibility. That is, in fact, what we said at the above. You'll notice where the arrow points above, where if permission is granted, the pot owner is not responsible for damage that may happen to the animal. So that even the Rabbanon agree that receipt of permission to enter doesn't always entail watching responsibility. It entails watching responsibility on the part of the Baal HaChotzer to watch the pots that he allowed to enter. That's what we saw at the beginning of the Mishnah. We saw that also in the Mitziasa, that if permission was granted, Baal HaChotzer is chayav. The Baal HaChotzer has watching responsibility over the pots. But no mention is made of the pot owner having responsibility over that which happens to the Baal HaChotzer as a result of the pots. So that we'll have to say that the major change in what we originally thought, we thought that when you get permission, we thought according to the Rabbanon, when you get permission, that it creates a two-way watching responsibility. Baal HaChotzer on pots and the owner of the pots on the Baal HaChotzer. Rav is telling us that assumption was incorrect. As far as Rebbe is concerned, even the Baal HaChotzer will have no responsibility over the pots unless he accepts responsibility in an explicit fashion. Before we continue in the Gemara text, let us glance in the margin, take advantage of our topic heading. Under the Nosei, it reads, Dinoi Shel Rav. We're going to learn Rav's teaching, Rav's law. Hamachnis Peroisov L'chotzer Baal Habayis Sheloi Bershus. One who brought his fruits into the domain of the Baal Habayis without permission. Ubehemas Baal HaChotzer and the animal of the Baal HaChotzer ate those uninvited fruits and took sick. Baal HaPeros Potter, the owner of the fruits is exempt. That animal shouldn't have eaten. No one told the animal to eat the fruits. No one forced the fruits on the animal. So even though the fruits were brought in, Shelo Birshus, Rav says, that does not impose responsibility on the owner of the fruits for injury that happens that the animal sustains through its consumption of the fruits. So then what damage did the Mishnah allude to where the fruit owner is responsible? That's if the animal slips on the uninvited fruits. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rav, lo shanu, the teaching of the Mishnah, that the Baal HaPeros, when bringing the fruits in uninvited, is responsible for damage the fruits cause. Elo shehuchlika behen. The homeowner's animal slipped on the uninvited fruits. Then the Baal HaPeros, the owner of the fruits, is chayav to compensate. He's obligated to compensate. Avol ochlo poter. If the homeowner's animal ate the fruits and took sick, the uninvited fruit owner is exempt. My taima. Why is he exempt? Havalo shelo tochal. The animal shouldn't have eaten those fruits. So Rav presents to us a new idea, a new concept, and we're going to refer to it as Havalo Shelo Tochal. It shouldn't have eaten the fruits. A new marking appears, a triangle, on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh heading. The triangle represents Kushes Al Rav, the Omar Havalo Shelo Tochal. So we're going to raise questions on Rav's contention that that this argument is grounds for exemption on the part of the food owner. The Gemara. Number one. You'll see as you scan ahead in the Gemara, we've presented several triangles. So allow your eye to get the bird's eye view of the sugya before we go in. Omar Rav Sheshes, Amino, Rav Sheshes says, I figured, Kinayim v'shochiv Rav, Omar lohosh maitza. Rav said this teaching, he revealed his revelation in a state of drowsiness. In other words, it's an honorable way of saying that what Rav is saying is simply inaccurate. And now Rav Sheshes presents a long question. What's the problem with Rav, according to Rav Sheshes? Literally, I just want to say that the expression kinayim, the word nayim, nom, is to fall asleep. So he fell asleep when he said what he said. Desanya hanoisin sama movas lifnei behemas chavero. A person puts poison in front of his friend's animal. Potter midine odom v'chayov bedine shamayim. He is exempt from prosecution in earthly courts, but in Shomayim, from heaven, they hold him to be guilty. So that there's no prosecution, there's no actual prosecution for putting poison in front of someone's animal. And, of course, it's a subsequent eating of it. Sam ha-moves hu d'lo avida d'ochlo. Poison is something that an animal would not ordinarily eat. Avol peros di avida d'ochla. However, let's say the animal took sick because it ate fruits. Fruits are something that the animal ordinarily does eat. And the animal would have taken sick. Bedine odom nami mechayev. A person will be held responsible in a common court. V'amai, well, according to Rav, why should someone's animal, which takes sick because it eats someone else's fruits, create culpability on the part of the fruit owner? Why should that be? According to Rav, havia lo shelo tochal. It shouldn't have eaten it. So from this, from the inference drawn from this source, we come out with a question on Rav. Response. Amri, we answered, hu hadin, the same thing is true, afilu peros nami poter midine odom. The Gemara's response, the style of the response, is do not make the inference. The source spoke about placing sama moves. Same thing would be fruits. The fact that someone else's animal ate the fruits does not and took sick does not create responsibility on the fruit owner. He would be potter based on Rav's teaching. Havi lo shelo tochal. The Chiddush of this Tanaic source, the point that this Tanaic source was making when it spoke about poison, and we're saying it spoke about poison without our drawing any inferences from that, the Afilu Sam Hamoves Nami, the Lo Avino the Ochlo. Imagine poison that you place in front of someone else's animal, that you would not anticipate the animal eating that. It's not normal for the animal to eat it. If it did, and it dropped dead, Chayov Bedinei Shamayim. The point of this brisa was to show that in heaven you are viewed as responsible, as bearing guilt. That's the Chiddush. That even don't start up with your friend's animal, even if it looks as if what you're doing will not result in any damage to the animal. As we said, even if it appears that the animal wouldn't eat it, nevertheless, if it does, and it takes sick, and it dies, you're viewed as guilty in heaven. V'iboyaseimo. Another approach to the source regarding the Sama Moves is Sama Moves Nami. The case of the Sama Moves was that the source said, Potter midine olam v'chaya v'dine shamayim, is v'afrizosa v'hainu peri. Afrizosa is a type of, it's a name of a vegetation, it's a type of grass that's poisonous. However, the fact that it's a type of grass makes it such that the animal would ordinarily eat it. It's expected that the animal would eat it. It's basically like fruits. It would have the same status as fruits. So that the source is talking about food, regular animal food, that which looks like animal food, that happens to be poisonous. That puts it in the same category as peri. And what does the source say? It says, Potter midine adam. You are exempt from any obligation to make restitution. Why are you exempt? Just like Rav taught, Havyolah shelo tochal, the animal shouldn't have eaten it. So it's the animal's fault, so to speak, that it got sick. Meisvei, ha'isha shenichnasa litchein chitim etzel baal abayis shelo birshus. A woman entered someone's domain with the purpose of taking advantage, we'll say, of his wheat grinder. But she entered without permission. The Ochlason Bemtush Balabayas Potter. The animal of the Balabayas, of that grinder owner, ate the woman's wheat. The Balabayas is exempt. Listen, lady, you came in without permission. Imhuzka Chayeves. If the animal is damaged, the animal gets sick through those through the wheat that it ate, the woman bears responsibility. She must pay. According to Rav, why should she pay? Why should she be responsible? Neymar, could she not argue, Havio lo shelo tochal? The animal shouldn't have eaten it. It's the animal's fault that it got sick, not mine. Amri, we answer on behalf of Rav. Umi adifa mi masnisin. Is this Tanaic source any, let's say, stronger a question than what the Mishnah might have presented? But we said the Mishnah is not a problem for Rav. The Ukimna, we set up the Mishnah regarding the damage to the behemoth through the fruits, damage to the animal through the fruits. Shehuchlika bahen. The animal slipped on them. That has nothing to do with what Rav was speaking about. Rav spoke about an exemption when the animal's damage was through its eating of it, based on Havya lo shelo tochal. This source with the lady coming in to grind is no different than the Mishnah. Yes, it says here if the animal got hurt, huzka, the woman is chayev. But what's the case? The animal slipped on the wheat. But had the animal eaten the wheat and through that taken sick, the woman the owner of the wheat, of the fruits in this case, would not have been, I say in this case, meaning the wheat represents fruits that we had before, the woman would not be chayav. Just like Rav taught, havya lo shelo tochal. The truth is that the answer that we just gave is so obvious. Just like the Mishnah that spoke about huzka and the balabayas is chayav, and we explain that it's because the animal slipped on the uninvited fruits. Here too, it's obvious that the nezek will be that the animal of the homeowner slipped on the uninvited wheat. So there's no question on Rav. If you notice, we have a bracketed section. If you skip the brackets, you notice a third triangle. A new question on Rav will be raised. However, within the brackets, the Gemara is sensitive to what we just pointed out, that the answer to question number two seems to be so obvious. What was the kavona? What was the intention in even raising it as a question in the first place? Isn't it like we use the expression cut and paste? Isn't that the appropriate description of what we just did over here? We took the explanation of the Mishnah and superimposed it on this brisa. Why even bother asking question number two to begin with? Now, in the brackets, Udakori law, my Kori law. What was in the mind of the one raising the question in the first place when the answer seems to be so obvious? Omar Loch. So the one who raised the question says, listen, I had grounds for asking my question. Bishlama Masnisen Kotoni. I understand that we can resolve the Mishnah with regard to Rav, because in the Mishnah it said, Im huska bohen. Notice we dashed on the line bohen, a very short word, but it could have made all the difference. There it says in the Mishnah, if the animal got hurt, huska bohen, through the fruits, which implies shehuchluka bohen hu. It slipped on the fruits. Its damage was through slipping upon them. The word bohen indicates that. Avohocha kotani im huska. Velo kotani bohen. The case in question number two with the uninvited lady and her wheat, it doesn't say bohen, it just says im huska. That implies achilohu de kotani. It got damaged through eating of the wheat. Oh, if that's how you're going to learn the source, and the lady bears responsibility for the animals taking sick through eating the wheat, that would have been a kashan rav. The idoch, and the other one, namely Rav, what does he say about this? The idoch, omar loch, lo shna. Rav will tell you it makes no difference. In other words, the presence of bohen doesn't make all that different. It isn't grounds for a distinction. Rather, in both cases, not only in the Mishnah, but in the case of the uninvited wheat, it's also, the huska is a reference to the animal slipping on the wheat. Ta Shema. Again, another kasha on Rav. What did Rav say? Hoya lo shelo tochal. It shouldn't have eaten. Well, Ta Shema. Hichnis shoru l'chotzer balabayas shelo birshus. A man brought his ox into someone's courtyard without permission. V'ochal chitin v'hitriz umeis poter. And the uninvited ox ate wheat that was there, and it lost control of its bowels, and it eventually died. The homeowner is exempt. V'im hichnis v'rshus, if entrance to the courtyard was with permission, and the same thing happened, Baal HaChotzer Chayav. The homeowner is responsible for the death of that animal. Ah, v'amai, why should he be Chayav? Why should he bear responsibility? Havele shelo yochal. The animal shouldn't have eaten. Yet we see that's not an excuse. That's not reason for exemption. We have a problem on Rav. Omar Rava. Rava says, what are you trying to do by asking a question on Rav from this source? This source describes entrance birishus. Owner, the homeowner gave permission, come in. Rav spoke about entry without permission. So Rava says, Birshus Ashalo, Birshus Kol Ramis. Are you raising a question from a source that describes entrance with permission, granted, permission granted by the homeowner himself, to the case that Rav was commenting on, namely a case where entrance was without permission? Birishus, when homeowner gives permission to enter, Shmiras Shoro Kabil Olav Vafilu Chonakes Atzmo. That homeowner is accepting upon himself all kinds of watching responsibility for all kinds of damage that might happen to his invited ox guest. Even if the ox chokes within that chotzer, the homeowner had accepted responsibility by granting permission to enter, which of course is quite reminiscent of Shitas Rabbonon that we have seen above. Rav, on the other hand, spoke about a case of someone entering without permission. And in a case like that, Rav said that Hoyala Shelo Tochal, that the homeowner case of Shelo Birshus that Rav spoke about was an uninvited animal, an uninvited fruit owner caused damage through his fruit to the homeowner's animal. That is true only if the animal of the homeowner slipped on the uninvited fruits. But if the homeowner's animal ate the fruits and took sick, so Rav said that Baal HaPeiros is not chayev. I hope it's clear, though, that the circumstances in which Rav spoke was a case of lo rishus. There was no permission granted. The case of the last Tanaic source that we saw, there the homeowner granted permission. And upon granting permission, the homeowner accepts complete watching shmira responsibility. And that the argument of Hoya Lo Shalo Tochal, where the homeowner might have said, well, your animal shouldn't have eaten my wheat, that wouldn't hold any water, because Kabbalas Rishus was present, even to the extent of the animal dying through strangulation. We continue in the Gemara, Ibai Elohol. Hecha de kobil ole netirusa mahu. We're focusing on the case where the Bala Chotzer accepts watching responsibility, accepts the responsibility to guard against damage upon his guest. How far does his responsibility extend? Before we continue in the Gemara itself, we glance at the side under our No Sour topic heading, which reads, when the owner of the courtyard accepts the responsibility to watch, does that mean I'm watching against sources of damage that are mine? Or am I agreeing to watch, am I accepting watching responsibility from sources of damage that come from the outside, not just my own possible source of damage? This will become easier to understand as we see actual examples in the Gemara. So, in the Gemara, we read, Ibayelo, Hecha de Kobil Olei Netiruso Mahu, when the Bala Chotzer does accept responsibility. Now, when we say accept responsibility, Rashi is quick to point out that according to the Rabbanan, Kabbalah Lein and Tirusa happens by mere permission, granting of permission to enter. When the Bala Chotzer says, come in, he is thereby accepting Shmira, watching. According to Rebbe, this question would be understood where there's formal acceptance of watching responsibility. But either way, once we establish that there is responsibility to watch. How far does that go? Dinafshehu de kablalei? Does that mean only he's accepting responsibility that his own animal, the balachot, his own animal, won't hurt the guest's animal? Oydilma, afilu netirusa di alma kabul ole. Or, possibly, my granting permission to come into the chotzer, or my acceptance of watching, is a total acceptance of watching, even if it's a matter of guarding against sources of trouble that come from the outside, that are not my own. Someone else's animal damages the invited animal. Even under those conditions, I bear responsibility as homeowner. So how far does it go? Toshma. We have a crown shape and also a numbering scheme. On the side under the mivneh, you'll notice these represent nisyonis lufshot she'elo hanal. These represent attempts to answer this question, namely, how far does acceptance of shmira go? Just is it limited to my own sources of damage, or even outside sources, potential sources of damage? The Gemara continues. Toshma, we have a long marking here, by the way. The Tani Rav Yehuda bar Simon ben Nizikin de Beikarna. That's Rav Yehuda taught a Tanaic source in the yeshiva of Karna. Karna is the name of a great rabbi. While they were learning Nizikin. Nizikin is the section of the Shas that we are currently involved with. Nizikin, Maseches Nizikin, is a term that you find in Rishonim referring to the three Bavas, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra. So while they were learning this section of the Talmud, Rav Yehuda, while learning in the Yeshiva of Karna, taught the following Tanaic source. Hichnis peiroisov lechotzer bal habayis shelo birshus. A person brought fruits into a private domain without permission. Ubo shor mimokoim acher. Now notice we've dashed on line. This is critical. An ox came from some other place. The ochlon potter. And that ox ate the fruits that were uninvited. There is no responsibility to compensate for the loss of fruits. Vim hichnis birishus. Chayav. If the entrance was with permission, then there is responsibility to compensate. That's as far as literal translation is concerned, and we did not put too much emphasis on the pronouns. All in this source, we saw the expressions poter, there's exemption, and chayav, there's obligation. The Gemara asks, man poter uman chayav. Who are the ones that are exempt and alternatively responsible? Lav poter, doesn't it mean baal chotzer, v'chayav baal chotzer? Does it not mean that domain owner, that courtyard owner, he is the one that if no permission was granted for the fruits to be brought in, and an outside animal ate the fruits, homeowner is exempt. And if homeowner gave permission to bring the fruits in, an outside animal ate them, homeowner is chayav. What does that show us? That shows us that when there's kabbalas shmira, it includes shmira di alma, watching against outside sources of damage as well. What was the source of damage in this story? A shor that came mimokamachir, from another place. And yet, homeowner bears responsibility because he gave permission to enter. And according to the Rabbanan, giving permission to enter means acceptance of shmira. The Gemara says, Amri lo. No, you can't conclude the issue from this source. Potter bal hashor. V'chayov bal hashor. The reference to exemption and obligation has nothing to do with the homeowner. It has to do with the shor that came from that outside source. That the if the fruits were brought in without permission, and the outside animal ate them, outside animal owner is exempt. If the fruits were brought in with permission, then owner of outside animal must compensate. The issue of Kabbalah Shmira, acceptance of watching, has no relevance to this, according to, within this analysis, within this explanation of the source, so the source can't be used to conclude our issue. The Gemara asks, though, this answer that you just gave, that Potter and Chayev are focusing on owner of Shor Mimokom Acher, the outside animal owner, V'i Baal HaShor, we continue at the top of Daf Mem Ches. My birshus, my shelo birshus ika. What relevance does rishus and lo rishus, granting of permission and no permission, have with regard to the owner of that outside animal? If it was referring to the homeowner himself, so he is the one granting permission to enter, or not granting permission to enter, but what does permission have to do with the owner of that outside animal? Amri, the Gemara answers. And this answer involves, let's say, knowledge or a review or a throwback to extensive discussions we had much earlier in our Masechta. So the Gemara explains, Amri, Birishus, if permission was granted to enter the courtyard, the homeowner granted rishus for the fruit owner to bring the fruits in. If that's the case, havya lo shein birshus hanizak, v'shein birshus hanizak chayeves. The rishus and shelo birshus does not reflect on issues concerning level of shmira. Therefore, the source doesn't answer our question, the Gemara's question. However, the terms rishus and shelo birshus do refer to the owner of the chatzer. The terms chayev and poter refer to owner of outside animal. What's the interplay between responsibility or lack thereof of owner of outside animal and owner of domain granting or not granting permission to enter? So the Gemara is explaining that if the owner of the chatzer granted fruit owner permission to enter, so he brings his fruits into the chatzer. As far as the halacha is concerned, the chatzer becomes, in a manner of speaking, the domain, the private domain of the fruit owner vis-a-vis the fruits. And as such, it's called Rishus Hanizak. And when the Torah speaks about the penalty or responsibility or obligation to compensate for consumption, we call shane. Shane literally means tooth. The nezek of shane applies only in the private domain of the victim. It does not apply, the Torah does not obligate someone to offer compensation if it doesn't take place in the rishus of the nizik, if the consumption of the food is not in the domain of that food owner, then a perpetrator is not responsible. Therefore, when homeowner gives permission to fruit man, you can bring your fruits in, that makes it such that courtyard becomes rishus hanizik. And shein in rishus hanizik is chayev, bears responsibility. However, shelo birshus, entry of fruits without permission, hav yalah, it becomes like And the Gemara is going to use an expression, don't take it literally, but the Gemara is going to say it's like Shein Bershus Harabim. It's like the case of Shein, of an animal eating fruit in a public thoroughfare. Rashi points out we're not talking about literally a public thoroughfare, but one thing is for sure. Without permission, your fruits don't belong in this chotzer. And therefore, it cannot be called a chotzer hanizak. It cannot be referred to as what the Torah says in the Nezek of Shein. It says, "Ubier b'sdei acher." And sdei acher, as far as we are concerned, means the domain of the victim. But if the fruits were brought into the chotzer without permission, we can't call that chotzer the domain of the fruit owner of the victim. And therefore, there's no obligation to compensate for Shein-related damage. We continue in the Gemara, recognizing that what we just did, we introduced our first crown marking without resolving our original question of when someone accepts responsibility to watch, is it limited to my own sources of damage or even outside sources of damage? So let's try again. Toshma, let's try again to resolve that. The source says, Hichnis shoro l'chotzer balabai shelo b'rshus. An animal entered someone's private domain without permission. Ubos shor mimokam achir v'nokhoi. And an ox came from some outside location and gored the uninvited guest, uninvited ox. Potter, there is exemption. V'mihnis b'rshus chayav. And if permission was of entry was granted, then there is responsibility. Man poter uman chayev. Who is exempt or alternatively obligated? Lav poter bal achotzer v'chayev bal chotzer. Is it not a reference to the exemption of the homeowner and the alternatively obligation upon the homeowner? And if this is the pshat, if this is the explanation, so we would see from here that responsibility extends beyond Bala Chotzer's own sources of damage, because in this source we have, in this case we saw a Shor Mimokam Acher that caused the damage, and yet Bala Chotzer was still Chayev. Lo. Potter and Chayev in this source is, Potter is Bal Hashor, V'chayav Baal Hashor, like we saw before, a reference to the either exemption or obligation upon the owner of that outside ox from third party. Ihochi, if Potter and Chayav are focusing on Baal Hashor Mimokam Acher, my rishus umay shelo b'rishus ika. What relevance does granting permission and not granting permission have over here? And now Rashi, it's amazing how precise Rashi as the foremost Talmudic commentary in fact is. Notice Rashi. We're looking at Rashi on the third narrow line. My brishus, my shelo brishus, bekeren. Here we're dealing with another kind of nezek. Up till beforehand, in number one, we dealt with Shein, where several avos nezikin that we learned about at the beginning of the Masechta. Shein was one. Keren, goring, is another. And they're very different forms of damage. In the realm of Keren, ein chiluk bein chotzer hanizak. No distinction is made. Namely, Keren is something that one is responsible for even in a public domain. And therefore, what Rashi is telling us here is that the answer we gave before will not hold over here. Before, we mentioned that Rishus and Shiloh Rishus granted by the homeowner makes a difference regarding the payment, because there we were dealing with Shein. Here, Rishus and Shelo Rishus is not going to make a difference at this point with regard to Keren. Rashi goes on, Iyamers Bishlam Potter v'chayev Bala Chotzer. If you would say that Potter and Chayev exemption or obligation is upon the homeowner. Hainu, the shelo b'rishus poter, the anal of the shomer. With that, I understand that if entry was without permission, so the homeowner is not responsible. But right now, you're telling me that poter and chayev is going on the owner of the outside animal. What difference does it make whether entry was with permission or not? The Gemara answers. Up till this point, what did we say? Up till this point, we said that there's no difference between public domain and private domain, Rishus HaNizak, when it comes to the Nezik of Karen. However, not so with regard to Rabbi Tarfon. We're going to introduce Rabbi Tarfon, and according to him, there is a difference. So that the issue of having permission to enter or not does have effects on the payment regarding Karen as well. Amri, notice we have a long answer marking. Ha'amani, this source, the source that was introduced above with crown number two, Ha'amani, who is the author of it? Rabbi Tarfon. It's authored by Rabbi Tarfon. Diomar, Mishune Karen, B'chotzer HaNizak Nezek Sholem Mishalem. Karen, horn damage, goring, and all derivatives thereof are mishuna, are unusual. And unusual forms of damage that take place in the chotzer hanizak, in the domain of the victim, the aggressor has to pay full compensation, nezek sholem. That even though you're dealing with a short tam, that in a public domain would pay half damage, in a private domain, the private domain of the victim, the aggressor will pay full damages. With that in mind, the analysis. Birishus, if shor ox entered with permission, havyo lo keren b'chotzer hanizak, it then becomes like it's viewed as his domain. He has a right to have his shor in there. And therefore, it's called Chotzer HaNizak, it's called the domain of the victim. U'mashalim, Nezek Sholem, and that owner of the outside animal, that shor that came Mimokom Acher, has to pay full damages. In accordance with Rabbi Tarfon. Shelo Birshus, if entry of victim shor was without permission, Havyolo Karen Birshus Arabim, it then becomes a case of damage through Karen, through goring, in a public domain. Again, the word public domain is a way of referring to a domain that's not something exclusively your private, permitted domain. So it then has the, when you enter without permission, then it's, you don't have any right to be there. It's not your domain. And therefore, it has the rules of Karen Rishus Harabim, goring in a Rishus Harabim. V'lo Mishalma Ela Chatzi Nezek. And there the payment is only half damages. And the word poter in the source above meant poter, exempt from paying full damage. But there is obligation to pay half damage. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, which reads, Hezber Psak Shel Rava, we're going to explain Rava's ruling, Shebimikre Shenichnesa Isha Birshus, Lebeisa Shelachya Lefois, a case where an animal enters someone else's domain with permission to bake her dough in his oven, V'ochal Behemta Shebalabayas Isa Umeis, and the homeowner's animal ate the dough, an animal died, chayeves ha'isha l'shalem al ho'ez, and the result was that Rava ruled that the woman who entered with permission, and the goat of the homeowner died on that by eating that dough, the woman must pay. Now that ruling would seem to be against what Rav said before. If you recall, when
Rob spoke about damage to homeowner's animal through eating as being a source of exemption for owner of food item. Havyalo shelo tochal. This woman got permission to enter. Who asked the homeowner's goat to eat this woman's dough?
And yet, Rava says the woman is chayav. That needs explanation. Unless you want to simply say that Rava disagrees with Rav. So now let's see what the Gemara has to say about that. Hahi itza. Itza was a woman. It was a woman, the ulsa, that entered lemefa to bake. Bahu beisa, a particular house. She entered someone's house to bake her dough. Also, barcha, the mora de beisa. Barcha is a goat. Mora de beisa is a balabayas, the owner of the house. Ochlo lalisha, the animal ate the dough. Chovil, it caused some kind of internal heating. It got hot. Umis, and the goat died. Chayva, Rava lishlume demei barcha. Rava obligates the woman to pay for the goat, for the death of that goat. The diamond highlights what we've indicated on the side. Piskei Rava, rulings of Rava b'mikrim shanazikin saviv knisa l'rishus chavero. Rulings concerning payment upon entering someone else's domain. There's a common theme behind all of the diamonds that you could see that run down. They run down to the bottom of this omen. The Gemara now asks, Lema pliga adarav. Should we say that Rava's ruling is against Rav? Diyoma Rav, havyolo shelo tochal. Rav said that damage that happens to a homeowner's animal through eating someone else's fruits does not create responsibility on the fruit owner. According to Rav, the goat shouldn't have eaten this. We shouldn't. According to Rav, we wouldn't be mechayev of the woman. The Gemara answers, Amri, hachi hashta. He says, how can you compare these cases? Hossam, there in the case of Rav, where he said, Havyolo shaloi tochal, shalo birshus. In Rav's case, the fruits were brought into the chotzer without permission. Lo kobu ole netirusa. There was no acceptance of responsibility to watch. There, the bala peros, he didn't accept upon himself responsibility over what his fruits might cause. He brought them in without permission. Aha. Here where Rava says that the owner, here the woman who owned the wheat, the dough, is obligated, she entered with permission. Aha birshus. Kabil ole netirusa. There is acceptance of responsibility to watch. The woman accepted upon herself that no damage would happen to the homeowner's goat, and therefore if damage resulted, she has to compensate. So the Gemara is saying you can't suggest that Rava is at odds with Rav. Rav spoke about a case where there was no acceptance of watching. Rava's case is the woman did accept upon herself responsibility. Question. Umay shno mehoisha shenichnasa litchin chitim etzel balabai shalobershus. We saw this case earlier. A woman brought her wheat into a grinder, of a privately owned grinder, without permission. V'ochlason behemtoi shel balabayas poter. The owner of the grinder's animal ate the wheat. He is exempt. The owner of the grinder does not have to pay. The wheat was uninvited. Vimhuska chayevis. If the animal is damaged through the wheat, the woman bears responsibility. Taima de shelo b'shus. The reason for the responsibility is because there was no permission granted. Harbirshus Potter. So, notice here, with permission to enter, there is exemption for damage to homeowner's animal. What did we say just a few lines up? Use the arrows to the side of the Gemara to navigate. Notice the squiggle underlines. Above we spoke about Birshus. What was Rava's ruling in the case of Rishus, where permission is granted? The woman brought her doe in with permission. She accepts upon herself responsibility for damage to homeowner's animal. Here, Birshus. And what's the ruling? Woman brought in wheat to grind, brought in with permission. Damage happens to homeowner's animal. She's exempt. So is the inference from this Tanaic source not in fact a kasha? Is it not a difficulty for Rava's ruling? The Gemara answers. And we're using here a double underline to help to emphasize the two cases and contrast them. We have a long answer marking here. Amri, litchoin chitin. The case featured in this Tanaic source, which spoke about grinding wheat. Kevon de lo baya tsniusa midi, lo boi misalki marvis of the chotzin of shayu, viole di de rami netirusa. For the process of grinding wheat, a woman enters someone's domain. A man owns the grinder, woman comes in to grind the wheat. All that's necessary is that the woman will say, will pour the grains, the wheat grains, into a funnel that leads to the area between the two grindstones. And the grinding takes place. Physically speaking, the activity of the woman does not demand any sense of modesty per se. We'll understand this better when we contrast this with the case of the baking in a moment. But in the meantime, with regard to grinding, it's a rather simple mechanical process which doesn't demand any exceptional modesty. She doesn't have to roll up her sleeves, exposing her arms, which is which would be a problem within the realm of the laws of modesty. Not necessary here. All she has to do is pour the grain into the grindstone. So since there's no tsniusa that's required, no special considerations of modesty are necessary here. So the loboi misalki, notice the words of the Gemara, there is no loboi means it's not necessary, misalki, marvasa. Marvasa means the owner. The marvasa is like word mar in the plural. Marvasa. Marvasa de chotzer. The owner of the chotzer doesn't have to misaki. Doesn't have to remove himself from there. So that in the case of the grinding, the owner of the chotzer is there. The owner is there. A lady day rami nitruso. So he has the obligation to watch what goes on in the chotzer. And therefore, if the homeowner's animal in the grinder case is approaching the wheat and is going to get hurt on it or hurt through it, that's the homeowner's responsibility, not the lady's responsibility. She's not there alone. Avola mefa. When it comes to baking, before the dough is put in the oven, the woman kneads the dough. In kneading the dough, the woman has to roll up her sleeves. Rashi says, Megalas Reisa, she rolls up her sleeves. The man who owns the oven, he's not going to hang around there while the woman is kneading her dough in this, we'll call this, relatively speaking, immodest situation. It's quite all right for the woman to roll up her sleeves, but the homeowner is not going to be present. So avalamefa kevon de baya heats niusa, since it requires modesty. Marvisa the chotzer misalkin of Shayo, the owner of the chotzer, the owner of the area where the oven is going to leave. He's going to leave the woman alone kneading the dough. He, as owner, is not there. Hilkoch alodido, Rami and Tirusa. Therefore, as far as obligations to make sure nothing goes wrong, rests upon the woman that entered. As a result of that, she has to make sure that the homeowner's animal, in this case the homeowner's goat, doesn't get sick on the dough that she brought in. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.